Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
excited when you picked her. I'm so excited.
Yes. And then my other co-partner who's always there feels his way in. My beautiful Rack and Tour. How are you, Rack?
I'm alive today. Well, thanks to the vampires in the season.
Thank you. And on the line I also have from the beautiful state that always says hello. Hello, 440. I don't know if it's Stephen or Kay, but how are you guys tonight?
It's Stephen. Hello. Good. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. I'm glad you're here. And then I have Mr. J. Hatter, my favorite marshmallow man, who sits upon me, the sweet potato pie and my marshmallow. How are you, sir?
Fine. You call me sir?
I did. I'm so sorry, my Hatter. I don't know what I was thinking. How did you enjoy the vacation? And then I have 419, which I am not quite sure what 419 is. I was going to say, I think it's Adam.
That's Adam.
It's the mushroom cloud himself. Adam, all right.
Wow.
Well,
God
no
see. Well, hello. Good, yes, long time no see. Welcome to the Vampire Show. How are you this evening? Well,
happy to not be alive for eternity.
Happy not to be alive for eternity. Well, that would be me, too. I'm very happy not to be alive for eternity. You have no idea that how happy I am that is not going to happen. nobody wants to be alive. You don't need my mouth for eternity anyway. So that's not going to happen.
I don't know if we could spend eternity with you.
Oh, they just fell from all of that. Just fine. They just fell from all of that. I'm really excited about the show. We got a lot of good poetry to go on. There's a lot of happy things going on. I personally write a lot of little vampy stories, as in vampire, not vamp. But so I appreciate everybody going on. Stephen, I'm taking that you're going to be here and run. So if that is correct, I'm going to. Am I correct on that, Stephen?
Yes, I do. I have to get to bed. I have to get up early tomorrow for work.
I heard it might snow up that way already. Is that
true? It has been snowing today. It has been snowing, yes. I'm very excited.
Oh, my God. That's really early for us up there. I mean, usually Ohio is like around Halloween, but that's kind of early. How cool
is
that?
Awesome.
I don't know if you're happy about that. I'm not there, but I'm happy about it. check it out. It's snowing in Ohio, and I'm happy, but I'm also not there. So I don't know if that's a good thing or bad. So I am very excited, my dark brother, to see what you have brought. Since I have Pretty Bird, I'm pretty sure it's already on the board, and it is.
It is.
So why doesn't my beautiful dark brother from Ohio start us off?
Okay. I felt that this kind of loosely fit to the one quote from the Queen of the Damned, if I can find it here. I thought I knew what beauty was in women, but she'd surpassed all the language I had for it. So this is one I dusted off from 3 years ago, and it's called Beauty Has Her Way. All the men adore her. They all wish to be by her side. And that's the way she likes it, to leave them shriveled and dry. She makes them think she likes them. She lets them take her home. Then her fun does really start. She craves marrow from the bone. She lets them lead her inside. She lets them close the door. Then her true side shown to them, teeth and fangs galore. She rends and tears through flesh to get down to the bones. One by one she breaks in half and drinks that liquid gold. And then she cleans herself up, and she blows a kiss before she leaves. Now to find dessert, she thinks, another to make believe. And boom.
Oh, my God. It not only fits the Queen of the Damned, Akisha, who actually was a pre-Egyptian queen before she was, becomes the Queen of the Vampires. because nobody really knows, like, how she became a vampire, but she is, like, supposedly the mother of all vampires. But she, the whole idea is to leave them shriveled and dry. I love that because that's like, she's Egyptian mummy kind of thing. But I love that line in there because it fits so much. A true side shown to them, teeth and fangs galore. That's so vampirish. I'm totally in love with this, by the way. She rends and tears through flesh to get down to the bone. One by one, she breaks in half and drinks the liquid gold. I don't know what you wrote it for, but this is perfect. And there's a little comment in there that says, I went a little dark. No, this is perfect. This is great. She blows a kiss before she leaves, now to find dessert she thinks, another to make believe. I mean, this could be just Akisha's theme poem from Queen of the Damned, and I'm totally in love with it. So thank you for bringing it, because it really, really makes me happy. I'm going to, I believe, welcome AP to the board. Hello, Mr. AP. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I'm going to get some comments for our lovely Ethan here who came to join me.
I'll go ahead and start with that if you want.
Okay, Adam, go.
All right. I love, first of all, the rhythm of it. The cadence was phenomenal. I love the concept of her being the seductress, that which men cannot ignore, deny, and they get sucked right in, literally. But I think that he did an amazing job with this in that description, because when I think of a female vampire, that's what I would think of happening. It would be that if he is preying upon men, that the men would not have a chance to deny what she is, and they would have to and want to take a bite of the forbidden fruit that bites back.
Awesome comment.
Good to hear from you.
Pretty Bird. I'm sorry. Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
Oh, this is just fabulous. She rends and tears through flesh to get down to the bones, and one by one she breaks in half and drinks that liquid gold. Because, you know, most female vampires are a little cold-blooded, ha, 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 but they're very sexy, and if it's all this lustiness, and she's all just digging right in, snapping their little bones like twigs, and sucking the juice dry, and that is just fabulous, because, you know, girly don't play. I can just see her licking her lips and everything, just licking her fingers and having a time. And unbeknownst to them, because they're just, oh, yes, I will do whatever you want to, because they don't know any better, the innocent fools. This is fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. And now she's off for dessert, so that is just amazing. I love this, love this, love this.
And I need to make a huge correction. First off, I said it was AP on the phone, is JCA. So I'm a complete idiot, just so everybody knows.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it is.
It is my JCA. So, hello, Jay.
Hello, sweet.
I had to get that out of the way. I cannot believe that. I am so sorry. I'm a complete idiot, let the world know, and I apologize. Because I have the JCA here tonight. I hope you're feeling better, my love. So
I'm a little bit, I still got a little congestion in the chest that's draining out, but otherwise I'm feeling better.
Oh, good.
Good
so
to hear.
Back to comments. Yes. Hatter, your thoughts on Ethan's poem?
Yeah, it says it all right at the beginning. All men adored her. And then she left and shriveled and dry. That made me feel comfortable. Yeah, I dated this chick.
A little uncomfortable. Back in the day. And I don't know if you got to hear of JCA, but if you did, you can comment.
Oh, Jay did comment.
Yeah, I already commented.
Oh, okay. Okay, Adam, your comment.
All right, yeah, this is, I love what Pretty Bird said, because, yeah, there's a brutality in this beauty, especially when she's cracking bones like a, like that was, that spoke to me too, like, it's delicate, and then that's, she's brutal, and that's awesome that she, you know, that, and of course, right, she's going to occupy that space being a predator. I find it interesting that, you know, the title can mean two things in its way. Beauty has her way, and, you know, like literally having her way, but beauty has, you know, a way about it too, right? That's very clever. You could almost then, thinking of it like beautiful people, even like, or whatever, just cannot have their way anyway, right? Like, it's, I don't know, it's just another take on a very obvious piece, which I think is just beautiful and dark, and it really makes me think of, like I said in a comment, like a dark nursery rhyme, like an evil, it's because of the rhyming and the rhythm, which is great. It makes it kind of like I said, romp. I mean, it's fun, because there's bounce to it, kind of like, and here you're getting your bones sucked dry of the marrow, like it's epic, Steven. Good job, man.
Thank you, Adam. Right. And a little quick Easter egg, Beauty Has Her Way is also a song on the soundtrack of my favorite vampire film, The Lost Boys.
Easter egg.
Oh, I love that. Love The Lost Boys. So, Stephen, tell us what's coming up in your world, because I know you've got some real juicy stuff for the month of October.
What do we got coming? Let's see. Sci-Friday is on Thursday this week because of visitors from out of state. And we are going to look at both of the movies, The Fly, the 1958 version, and the Jeff Goldblum version from the 80s. We have quotes from both movies to write to. Check it out. We're going to discuss them in detail as well. We're going to have some fun with that one. And Saturday is Storyboards with Sky Darkholm. And she's looking at the animated feature Coraline. Quote rights, scene rights, character rights. Have fun. Come geek out with Sky at 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. That's what I got for the rest of this week.
Awesome. And I know I'm doing on Anne Rice, but I know you, have you done Bram Stoker? I know that was coming up, or did I miss that one?
Oh, we did Bram last year. Oh no, we did the white Worm. Yeah, we did that last week. Yeah.
Ah, dang it. I've been so busy. I just got so much going on my plate right now. I apologize, but I wanted to be a part of that one. I love Bram Stoker. Ah, dang it. Anyway, someday I'll get myself together. Thanks. Hang out, of course. I'm going to go ahead, JK, and throw you on the board, just that I want to make sure we hear you. And then you can stay, of course, as long as you want. But I know that your circumstances are your circumstances, but I definitely want to hear you read.
All right. I wrote this for you. So,
this is
for the quote, "You do have a story inside you. It lies articulate and waiting to be written behind your silence and your suffering." And I call this The Host. Candy cane swirls rip through the eggshell skull as my throbbing scalp sinks in the snow polyester pillow. Clinking of the ice cubes chime the carnival whiskey glass screams at my cataract eye. You let them turn you into the blood bank, those vampires that see you as a meal, and you did nothing but deliver your olive neck like the soulless prostitutes stumbling under crimson streetlights. Veins are the algae poison that fill the golden coffers of life. Silence is the death sentence showered on the host's withered garden. Mine is the rolled scroll of no mercy, the cast iron casket dealing in the smallpox. I gasp and wail, but the ears are cast in the rosewater limestone. They call and I run, not away, back to their bites. Poem.
You know, you write for me so well. You scare me and seduce me all at once. I don't know how you do it. Oh, mine is the rolled scroll of no mercy. The cast iron casket stinging, the smallpox I grasp and wail, but the ears are cast in the rosewater limestone. I call and I run, not away, back to their bite. I don't know. There's so many great lines in here, but deliver your olive neck like the soulless prostitute stumbling under the crimson street light. Yes, please, please, please. I love that line. Wow. Again, like I said, I don't know how you have the ability to scare me and seduce me all in one poem, but your brilliance is just makes me speechless sometimes. But this is just beautiful. I love the words. I love the storyline. I love how you make it like it's not scary because you just want to run back and just be filled with that terror of no mercy and that, you know, adrenaline, that rush, that beauty, that darkness, the beauty of that darkness that they have. I think this was really brilliant, Casey. I really did enjoy this. Miss Pretty Bird, your thoughts on it, please.
Thank you.
They call and I run, not away, but back to their bites. You know, there's something a little addictive about being the candy in that scenario. You know, to be feasted on, and even if there's a little bloodletting, so be it. But I love this, and the line that the cast iron casket sealing in the smallpox. Okay, I love that because it takes my mind to so many different places, Because I like the idea of a virus or a disease like body, even if it's on a microscopic level, you know, doing something to the vampires. I love the notion of that just on the scale of all things vampish. Not that that's what that is, but that's if my mind goes there on, you know, because it's like an onion. But I absolutely, absolutely love this. Love this. With the white pillow and the throbbing scalp and the host's withered garden, and in my head is just all the leftover dead people that are nice and drained and just tossed aside for the next bit of juice box deliciousness. I love this. The judgment in the second verse, you let them turn you into a blood bank. Well, yeah. Have you seen them? You know, it ain't all bad. I'm just saying. So I love this. We don't usually get, you know, that side, the willing side of that at all. So I was thrilled.
I appreciate it. There is a historical reference in the cast iron casket. And there was a company that used to make those cast iron caskets. And what happened is one year someone was dug up by accident in the middle of a city, and their bodies were so well preserved that they didn't know how that was so preserved, and they were about 150 years old. when they went ahead and figured out the testing and everything, and they actually were able to identify the person, and they found shards of iron all around. They couldn't figure out what happened, but the detective eventually figured out it was a cast iron casket, and she had bumps all over herself, and it was actually from smallpox. And what they used to do is they used to put the people who, some of the people who died from smallpox, in these cast iron caskets so the disease wouldn't get out.
Until you dig it up 150 years later.
Yeah, exactly. It was construction equipment. Accidentally broke the casket. Didn't even know the person was there. You know, they were digging in the middle of the city. You know, the grave was unmarked.
Yes.
That is great. And I can hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I very much got the vampire groupie / willing victim vibe from this. It was great. From the beginning, you know, that you gave like Pretty Bird pointed out, you pointed out the desire that you know, their point of view isn't the same as, you know, someone else. That, you know, I let him bite me, you know, that kind of a sport. And you know, you go down throughout the piece and just drain us dry.
Thanks, bro.
And Adam.
Was that Adam or Hatter?
Adam.
This was awesome. That's such great and interesting and just new kind of metaphors that are imagery I don't always see totally, you know, pulled from the dark abyss of his mind, which are brilliant and interesting. That's a cool, and I like that he used that historical sort of reference, but it almost, like, it just makes its own badass, interesting imagery, though it's just a historical thing. Like, it's just like an awesome image that, like, captivated me when I read it. And then the following one, Ears Cast in Rosewater Lamps, like, I was like, holy moly. And the storytelling was epic. And I'm, like, interested, I'm really caught on something, though. Like, I'm stuck in the idea of it's somebody describing somebody else, but then going ahead and doing the exact thing they're condemning, right? Because the narrator's, like, kind of condemning this person they feel allowed themselves to be this. And then in the end, the narrator says, you know, basically, but I'm going to do the same thing. Or I've already done the same thing, right, because they're back to the bites. Or maybe I'm just misunderstanding that, but I thought that was interesting turn of it. This is awesome, JCA. It's great writing and great storytelling.
I appreciate it.
Jay's mind is just
Hatter.
Hatter,
Hatter, Hatter.
Yeah, like you said, it's great. Great lines throughout this. I like the clinking of the ice cubes, chime the carnival whiskey glass. There's another, the algae poison, veins are the algae poison that fill the golden coffers of life. Yeah, great. It's that place of imagination each poet possesses, and it's amazing where you go. That's it, said that terribly wrong. how you construct it, you know, where the juices are flowing, that place you go, but it's all flowing, I guess. That's where those lines come from. Clinking of a carnival whiskey glass, things that just sort of roll off the tongue. Good to see that.
That is kind of a personal thing to me because I had a great aunt. I loved my two great aunts, Elsie and Helen. And Elsie used to own some carnival glass, just ashtrays, lighters, everything you could imagine. So I was thinking, why don't I put a little spin of myself in here with some carnival glass.
Steven, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like this a lot. It gave me a little bit of a ride, and I appreciate poetry that does that. The imagery, they describe perfectly those characters in the show True Blood that willingly gave themselves. But also, you brought me to a little meatloaf there. Would you offer your throat to the wolf with the red roses? This is very cool, brother.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Who doesn't love a little meatloaf?
But I won't do that.
John's been bombing.
My mind went straight to the gutter.
That doesn't surprise me. All right. Hatter, your final thoughts.
Hatter already commented.
I mean, Raconteur, final thoughts. One of these days I'll get this straight.
Everybody commented. Raconteur commented as well.
Did Rat comment? I didn't hear. I can't remember. All right. Who did I miss then?
Nobody.
I think he nailed
right.
us all.
You nailed it.
Yay.
You nailed it.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Dang. I want to make sure JPA got it all.
They
and I did.
Did.
I did it.
He took every inch.
Yeah.
John's embalming.
Yeah,
his cat's available.
Okay, so I want to know if you guys have a favorite series. Like, is it Lestat? Is it her witch series? Is it her beauty? Because she's Sleeping Beauty. Anybody have a favorite?
Yes, but it's not vampires.
What?
I love Anne Rice. I love Anne Rice. But the best book I ever read by her is the original, The Mummy, the Ramses the Damned, The Mummy from 1989.
Oh, yeah.
Now, no lie, it took me 3 weeks. It was on the back of the toilet. It took me 3 weeks to get through the first 35 pages because they are boring AF. However, it then took me 4 hours to finish the rest of the damn book. Because it was amazing. And she didn't come out with a sequel till 2017. And I didn't even know that because I got tired of waiting about 20 years after the thing was written. So I'm thrilled. And then there's another one. And for the second and third in the series, she wrote them with her son. So I don't know how big a contribution he made, but I'm all kinds of interested. And I have to go back and read the original just so I can read the other two. The last one of which just to go after she died. So that's an interesting turn of events. My next favorite Anne Rice is about the castrati, but we can't talk about that tonight.
No, no, we cannot. No, that's a Sunday night show. But yeah, I agree. I enjoy that very much. But I have to say that absolutely one of my favorite books was Interview with a Vampire. I think Lestat is a classic vampire. I think that she did him justice. I think he's probably one of my top 10 vampires. He is just so classical. He has so much wit about him. I think that she wrote him with a lot of wit and a lot of character. And he just always makes me laugh. I don't know what it is about him, but he does. You'll see if I like the new series coming up. I have not really kind of dove into that yet, but we'll see. I have not done that. So we'll see how that
Sweet.
Goes. Sweet. Yeah.
I've been coughing a bit. I've been muting myself. So I'm gonna take off and rest for the rest of the night.
I am so happy that you were here, and I want you to get well, continue to get well, and my heart is with you, my love. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank
I
you.
Take, you,
Thank
take
you.
Your coughing with you. I'm right. I got some Mucinex night shift here that should knock me out and stop my cough going, so hopefully.
Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you soon, Jay.
Thank you, everybody.
Take care, Jay.
Nice. Take care. Nice. All right. I am actually going to do mine very quickly and very, let's get out of here. Good night, Stephen. I really enjoyed you while you were here, too. As always, it's a pleasure to have my dark brother along. I'm going to take a look at my studio. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, we're out. Here's a little ditty about a vampire I wrote this evening. Hopefully it's not too boring. This is Red Stained Lips Live. All right, here we go. The sun began to dance with twilight, dipping beyond the horizon, twirling among the clouds and tantering down, bowing to the darkness. A blood moon rose to bathe the earth in crimson shades of wildness. In a white sundress, her bronze skin was the gold to find on Cutter's Island. Listening to the evening waves in a world all but silent, teardrops blew into the wind, and that is how he found her. In thoughtful whispers, he called her name and walked beside her. Tall and strong, he held her hand and took away the frightening. She barely spoke her tales of woe, for pain was never enticing. In places where sand castles are washed away, he laid her down, and she welcomed his kiss, his caress upon her body. She felt the sharp pain of his bite and a warmth drained from her body. He met her eyes as the moon began to fade from the sky. Her blood dripped from white fangs to his entire face grin. He died knowing that red stained lips always lie. I don't know why I didn't want to die. All right, end poem.
Ooh, this is a little, there's a touch of wistfulness in this little blood-sucking piece. And I love this. I love the beauty in this. I love the white sundress and the bronze skin and the ocean, because, you know, there's something beautifully spiritually cleansing about a lapping shore. And there's peace there. And maybe not this night. But I love this. I love that he found her sadness and wanted to put her out of her misery and all the wonderful gentleness of where she was. Only me, how gentle can you be if you're sucking the life out of somebody? But I love this. I love in thoughtful whispers, he called her name and walked beside her, tall and strong. He held her and took her and took away the frightening. And here is the thing, because might as well bring it out now, my theory on crap, because that is why at 8 years old, I was traumatized with Disney princesses and loved vampires, because in that thoughtfulness, that tall, strong, gallant gentleman is Prince Charming with a little blood sucking on the side. You know, so how is a young girl supposed to trust a man when they are both all good and all evil in things depicted in various ways on TV? But I love this. I love that gentle luring. I mean, you're not going to be able to feast on the lovely ladies if you just have at it like a beast and tear them to shreds. You know, there's a gentleness and elegance about vampires getting what they want because they give it willingly. And it's kind of why they're my favorite monster, because they're fabulous and sexy as hell. And here at the end, you know, the last thing she sees are those lips. And on the brink of death, her last thought is, you know, red stained lips lie. And so there is no peace. There is no taking away the frightening. There is, you know, just emotional morphine and death. So I absolutely love this because it's such a gentle depiction of that thing. My dog is crunching on something in the background. I apologize for that. So, Hatter, what are your thoughts on these lying lips? Hatter, are you muted?
Yeah.
Hatter.
I thought after the vampire bit you, you're immortal. You become one of them, right? Oh, that's the...
They turn you, they can kill you, too.
But only if they want you to be. Otherwise, they drain you and kill you.
I was sort of ruined as a kid. If you remember the very first Dracula,
mm-hmm.
the bald-headed guy with the spiky
teeth. Nosferatu.
Yeah. Leprechauns.
Vampires and leprechauns.
Vampiric leprechauns, even better.
And Rack and Tor, what are your thoughts?
I like the idea of this, and that there's the thought to me in the beginning, and I dare say I'm sure it was intentional with her when she's talking about, you know, taking away the pain. You know, it's you know, when you're tired of living, and someone's giving you death. That's, you know, it sounds like a lovely idea, you know, oh, yeah, you know, you're taking away my pain. Meanwhile, you know, they're murdering you, but you're thanking them for it because, you know, they're taking away your pain. So that's like the underlying thing I get from a lot of her writing. She says something that sounds so inviting and so like, you know, I'm all for it. And then when you realize what she says, you're like, uh-oh. but you know, and the anchor for all of her piece, I think, too, is the emotional, you know, because she's all about the feelings of it and her sadness and what she's going through and you know, it's palpable. It really is. So you know, I tend to relate. Still a fan.
Always. And Adam, your thoughts?
I love the storytelling in this. It was very wistful and romantic, and I was being carried away, and the whole time just feeling so kind of heartbroken for this woman throughout. And I'm like, you know, the whole time I know it's vampire-y, so I'm like waiting. And here he comes, and I'm like, all right, cool. Well, maybe he's just going to turn her. And then, nope. It was her release into, I guess, what she really wanted was. So then, you know, it makes you wonder, is it a mercy? You know, it almost feels like that, the kind of way the Pretty Bird said, like he kind of is giving her a mercy. Like he comes to her aid, really, because she's, like it says, you know, how he hurt her, you know, and comes kind of in a, it reminds me of the moment, but differently, of when Lestat turns Louis. Let me say, Louis is my favorite all time. I want to say actually all time favorite vampire character across all vampires ever. And I know that's vampire blasphemy.
Yeah.
I say it knowing
it's
not, that.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of is. It kind of is vampire blasphemy to say that about Louis. But
he was fabulous.
He's the best, and that's why I love him. But so I feel that it's kind of reminiscent of that moment when Lestat takes advantage of Louis to turn him in his weakest moment, and yet, you know, Lestat's a greedy kind of asshole. Oh, wait.
jerk.
And really just cares about what he wants. And he really only cares about what he wants, right? So this is actually a more gentle vampire than Lestat, really. This is a guy who he sees her pain, and he hears the call and comes, and he's like, well, you know, I need to eat, and she wants to pass away. Let me give her a moment of peace into her death. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
wow, this was beautiful. There's so much emotion in this, really, so much emotion. And just, I was mad, though. I'm going to say that. I was hoping it wasn't going to end that way. But it almost works. It works in, like, this, I really feel like this romantic build, and then I'm just letting go, like, into the wind in the end, like that. It's wild. you really wrote this masterfully to, you know, convey that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something magical, sweet, about that, the notion that somebody's going to come rescue you or come and balance out that sadness and pain and so that it comes back to a neutral zero. And it reads like that's what the hope is, like it's love. And then it's like, well, in order for me to take away your pain, you now must die. Thank you very much. And so it kind of goes to the end. And that last, you know, that those red lips always lie, it breaks my heart completely, because there's a certain amount of trust when in that scenario where they come in all sweet and gentle and, you know, to run off into the sunset, and then you don't, or that's the last sunset you'll ever see. And it's almost like a tututé, like just another liar. And it's heartbreaking. So and it's done in a line, you know, and that last little pang of pain, for all the pain he took away, he leaves her with that. And that's just heartbreaking and quite brilliant, my dear. Back to you.
Thank you. All right. I am going to say, let's go with the hat trick. It's time to see what matters to the hottest when it comes to vampire lore.
And Hatter is on the board.
Hatter, are you ready to read?
Hatter, are you muted?
You might not realize this.
Yeah, I was rambling on. I wrote to the telling people, did it ever make things better? And it goes like this. Specific ways with stranger words on crooked lines, buying hers, finding mine, losing time. Paint it black, all that's red, take it back from what was said. Sign for this to O for that. Please pay attention. My life was just listed as an honorary mention. What will stay to play. It cannot hit a curve. Down and away like shades of gray. It's hidden in the words. Can't you see she'll never be free? And this is what it'll get her. Stand up proud and then ask out loud, did it ever make things better?
Wow.
Struggled a little bit.
This is gorgeous, though. Paint it black, all that's red, taking back from what was said. Sign for this to O for that. Please pay attention. My life was just listed as an honorary mention. What will stay will still stay to play. It cannot get a curve. Down and away in the shades of gray. It's hidden in the words. Can't you see she'll never be free? And this is what it will get her? Stand up proud and ask out loud, did it ever make me? I like that my life was just an honorary mission.
Yeah.
But I hope and pray that maybe I'll be good, that good someday. That my life could be an honorary mention. Because I'm quite sure I'm in the bottom 10%, and I'm not getting any kind of it. Just so that you know. I also like specific ways of strangest words I flip it for. Find her, finding mine, and get her. There's so much to your lines and your word pattern. It's like walking this labyrinth of thought of, do I go left, right, up, down, sideways? What is he trying to say? Oh my God, I got that. Wow, that's just so deep. You know, I really am in a hookah with a caterpillar having a conversation. or I, I you know, I'm trying to figure this out because, you know, really, I'm thinking, you know, that whole line, my wife is just an honorary mention. You know, paint it all black, that's red, taking back from what was said. God knows there are so many things I wish I could take back that came out of this mouth. Because I can you imagine all the things that I said in my life I wish I could take back? Or things that I've written that people have read and I'm like, oh God, please just no. It's horrible, but I think that you took that quote and telling people that it never make things better. Because my advice, people have just, you know, puked it up, thrown it at me, or have said, you know, that advice was shit. Granted, I have had some come back and go, hey, you know, that's pretty good advice, but in general, really, does telling people ever make things better? Or if something doesn't work out, or you need a reason that it didn't work out. So I love the quote from the Witch Hour to begin with, and I love how you just kind of stood out and said, stand up proud and then ask out loud, did it ever make it better? So, Rack, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I like the honorary mention line a lot, too. So my mind would have went more footnote, but, you know, same end result. I really like that. And I mean, the whole piece, you know, you say you struggled, but, you know, you gave us the struggle, too. And that's, you know, part of what makes it so beautiful. You know, it's not easy to deal with. It's not easy to face a lot. And you know, you gave us that and more in this. And like Sweet Pea said, you know, there's an angst in your words, too. And you know, that's kind of like what we look at when you write for us. There's the layers, and you do it in a way, I think, that, you know, Adam will look at it and he'll see one thing, and I'll look at it and I'll see something different, and it's the same line, but, you know, you have a way of putting things together like that from your perspective, but, you know, presenting them in see what you make of it, and that's what I appreciate about what you do. It's beautiful.
Well, thanks. I sort of struggled at this meeting. That I was sort of puzzled at the quote that I chose. What did it mean? Did it really make things better? So I was sort of taking it as the useless energy that people expel trying to do things they have no control over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it almost self-destructed on me, so I left it alone. Messing with it.
This poem was self-destructed in 5 verses, 4, 3. Adam.
Yo, I thought this was amazing. Cool. I love the very first. I love the beginning. Specific ways with stranger words on crooked lines, buying hers, finding mine, losing time. Now, in perspective, after Adam said, like, he was trying to unpack this quizzical quote he chose, and self-destructed on him. I think for me, you know, what I got from this was still within that parameter of, but what I felt from this piece was the idea of when you do share and it means nothing to the person or anyone, and it doesn't make it made nothing better. It made nothing, absolutely did not. Whatever it may be, the truth of heart or soul or a dark secret or your wrongdoings in whatever way, it almost seems like, what does it ever do? I like just the posing of that question. Did the telling make it better? I mean, there's many times that confessing my love for somebody or the absolute truth of that or anything of that was a waste of my energy and heart. And it really, it would have been better not to have said anything at all. You know, like, it would have just, it didn't make it better. It made it worse. If any, so I love that. That's what I was pulling from this, for me.
Yeah. Thanks.
it does. It spoke to me. It touched me. I loved that from the beginning, and then the second stanza from the end. I liked a lot too. With the what will stay,
yeah.
will stay to play. Can I hit a curve? I was thinking baseball for some reason, kind of, especially after the honorary mention makes me really think sports in a weird way. And then that kind of, I started thinking like, oh, and then down and away, Shades of Grey. But also then I was thinking of other things as well. But I don't know if that just happened to be inherent in your, you know, for being an athlete, you know, once or now or whatever, you know, in your days. And so if that just is inherent in your writing, just kind of.
Yeah, the glory days, that's for sure.
The glory days, yeah. Down and away like shades of gray, it's hidden in the words. Like, to me, this what I get is an emotional conveyance of just a dribbler. Like, it kind of like you hit the ball and it didn't quite do what you wanted it to do. It wasn't like a line drive. Like, you just kind of, like, wasteful. Like, you might have got on base, but it wasn't what it ought to have been. And that the feeling in that is kind of what I get from when you share with somebody something what you think is going to be poignant or meaningful, and it just falls on deaf ears. Anyhow, I'm done. Shut up, Adam.
Shut up, Adam. Pretty bird.
Oh, Hatter. This speaks to me of floating emotions, like people float bills. It's very much with the buying hers and finding mine. It's like all of this wasted time with sideways back and forth and instead of just, you know, going straight, you know, just I have a thing about honesty, as y'all know, because I harp on it 10,000 times. And for Adam, that, you know, does it make it better? No. To me, it's always a yes, because you can't heal until you rip off the Band-Aid and deal with whatever wound that is. And so does it suck? Yes. But better to suck and move on than be in that pre-sucking moment for a long time, because then it's going to eventually suck anyway. And then at that point, you know, why bother? And I don't know, is it that, you know, this whole painting it black, all that's red, which is feels to me of dying emotions, and taking back from what is said, and then down here at the bottom where it says, where is it, it's hidden in the words, and all of these things, it's all about the words you couldn't say, you know, or the words you did say that came out wrong. And it is, then, you know, and me being a wee bit verbose, I've always got too many words. And so it's really a hard place to be, to be in this place of not where you want to be, not what you wish it was, and not able to get to where you hope to be, because everybody is floating emotions like they're floating bills. And so I absolutely love this. It's like you can see everything as it, and I'm finger quoting, should be, and it's just in the shadows of that. And whether you say it or don't say it, the responses are never what you think they are. And I'm sure I'm way off base, but that's what I see.
That was close. Grateful's time. Thank you.
It was lovely. I thought it was beautiful.
Pretty bird.
Pretty bird.
Yes.
How about you? Give us some magic of your own.
Oh, I don't know about magic, but I can put my poem up.
All right.
And it is on the board. I did not do quote specific. I just went with whatever vampy thing I had, because my creative sense, my juices ain't flowing. But this is Nocturne Row. And it goes like this. Buildings grow long on empty streets, turning twilight bravery into midnight cackling, calling cowardice and crimson-heeled lips. Prying eyes peer through shades of navy, aubergine gray. Oil-slick puddles twirl in ribbons beneath fading street lamps. The clicking of heels on pavement turn the blood hot and the heat cold in a sky full of nocturne life, afterlife. Fear. Feeding the young into frenzied anticipation, yearning for a taste of adrenaline sweet. Lips licked, package adjusted, the brave approaches and she feeds against the brick wall, never wasting a drop as pallor fades. Stumbling in bliss, he lines them up and waits. Such messy boys. She can smell you know, PG-13 is killing me with my vampire poems, I'm just saying. she can smell them as she invades senses in punctured pulse. Young blood is strong and their livestock varied, but she prefers aged wine and wisdom that saves a loaded gun for a nightcap. You know, I don't tend to be flummoxed by a simple word.
Well, I might say this was quite the sensuous, most PG-13 poem I've ever read or heard. Those of us that can do this were quite stimulated under your scripturally ways. This is lovely. Yes. Oil slick puddles full in ribbons beneath fading street lamps. The clicking of heels on pavement turned the bold, hot, the heat cold, and sparkling white smiles against the blood. There are some beautiful imagery in here. I mean, you just got it, like you're just frenzied and anticipating. You know, you can just smell the heat and the blood and the darkness. It's just a feeling that, you know, you're, the back of your hair, neck and your hair is standing up, and you've got the chilly bumps and everything around you is just in that moment, that frozen moment of just before anticipation, just before something strikes, just before you know something, just before you fall, or in the second of falling, before you can stop that fall, before you can stop that bite, before you can stop that cut. It's that instant, you know, like when you get that slice of a paper cut, just when you're getting sliced, that moment of it, and you just know it's there, and you just couldn't stop it, that and your hand is cut, and that sting right after, every moment of that, this is what that poem is, that's what it is, it's that sting, and that's why I love the way you write.
You make me sound fabulous.
You are fabulous. Rack your thoughts, please.
Oh, I get carried away with her words. You can't expect me to be coherent. the only thing better than reading Pretty Bird is hearing her read it to you.
Well, thank you. And Adam, your thoughts.
She plants a seed, and the flower that blooms from that is intoxicating. No, I love it. Oh my God! And there's a playfulness in this, and a gotcha feel to it. I love it. I love like the comment, like kind of like the idea, you know, the young men, yeah, they have their place, but what is preferred and is interesting. I love the, it's witty and it's fun, and seductive. It's also very that as well.
That's why I love vampires. They're the best.
Yeah, right. I think there's so many cool, just great lines in this throughout. I like calling cowardice and crimson heel lips. I mean, there's so. I mean, there's. I love that she used frenzied. The word frenzy was, oh, yes. Because I like, but, you know, that's the, yeah, young men. Frenzied. Yeah, I love that she stumbled, had to kind of, oh, no, I can't say that word. It was great.
You know, and it's such an innocent word, too.
It's
for
totally
sake.
Innocent until you know, it's
context.
Yeah. Until it's context. I love that you use that word for that, though. It was, and, like, what it actually says is so true. And that stands, it's so true. There's a definite, yes. Well done, Pretty Bird. I love this piece.
Thank you.
It's all about the truth.
It is quite beautiful. All right. Let's see what we got. What we got going on. All right, Hatter, your thoughts.
Yeah, there's great lines throughout this lip package adjusted. Yeah, somebody standing on first base in baseball here too. I do like this. Yeah, mention. I use it whenever I can because it's a great image that you can draw from. Is a puddle. Anytime you can use that metaphor. It can be a barrier. It can be a barrier, or it could be a deep puddle when drying up. So there's many things you can do. It's a great tool to use to invoke images. And you're right. So this is a good job.
Thank you so much. You know, there's something about moonlight and what it does to wetness that is just, it makes everything turn into, like, you know, glitter and fabulousness. And oil slicks, while kind of gross, are beautiful. You know, it's that kind of that moire color swirls that move in the wind and are just lovely. And they're kind of the shades of evening. And so I kind of love that. So thank you, Heather. Who's up next week?
Adam.
All right. I can dig it. Oh, I wish that was here. We get it. No, it was a thing. Like, I guess, you know, on their show, they do a soundbite for people. I don't have one, so I don't really call that often. So I got to be, can you dig it? And it was a wrestling thing, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyhow. Anyways.
But that reminds me of the Warriors.
That's what it was. Yeah, I think that's what it was, the Warriors. Yeah. Which is cool. Mm-hmm. That's awesome, actually. So I used the quote, memory was a curse. Yes, he thought, but it was also the greatest gift, because if you lost memory, you lost everything. And I wrote this for Louie. I don't know. There we go. Dream does the nightmare. Bathed in the brilliance of night's shattering air, my reticulated breathing consumes sorrow itself. Upon the coals and embers of life, I dove into the deep. My mother was darkness, a home. A tomb, cast aside the forgotten father and light, though my weakness would not let me, a stranglehold on my humanity ever would remain. Yet it was frivolity, as beauty is a mirror, an ignorant child dancing in the doom of an impending death. The beast does not weep for prey. Nightmares don't cry for your lost slumber, insipid in some pious queer thought I know. Then turn the turn away from that which haunts me still in eternity. The crane neck strained and wasted reach to peer back into my humanity. I weep. I weep alone in the vast space of this womb. Born a creature anew, damned and soulless, but a heart still beats. It may be black or red coursing love. I cannot be sure in my rejection, in my objection, my obsession, in the delicate reflection I no longer can see. Like dust in wind's kiss, I do not feel the sun or her apricity, but only cold marrow and the morrow's never-ending, shackled, chained in freedom. My bearing heart that resonates in bleating for redemption, rejected again and again, but the moan of my selfish lover, who I lust in forever's tower apart from love, dreaming of when I was a man, a fragile, unenduring, beautiful figment, a flower seen, plucked, sniffed, and forgotten, to be that again, a dream, a nightmarish dream. End poem.
Oh, how beautiful. And how I can't even. When I was a man, a fragile, enduring, beautiful figment, a flower seen, plucked, missed, and forgotten, to be that again, a dream, a nightmare to me. This is, wow, your read was amazing, but this poem, first off, the first line that just set me way, way back. An ignorant child dancing in the doom of an impending death. The beast does not weep for prey. I'm like, wow, that is like, you just sit back and go, wow, aren't we all ignorant children dancing in the doom of an impending death? But once we are born, we are doomed to die. I just like, wow, that's just wicked. That is wicked. And then, you know, to bear back into my humanity, I weep. Born a creature anew, damned and soulless, but a heart still beats, it may be black or red, coursing love. I cannot be sure in my rejection, in my objection, my obsession. I just love how you put words together sometimes. It's just really cool to read and to hear you read. But in delicate reflection, I no longer see. Like dust in wind's kiss. I love that. I should go on and on. I feel like Deb right now, and that's not fair. But I really just found it great. But those few lines just kind of went, wow, that's crazy. But a dream and a nightmare's dream, I thought was a really great way to end it. And the way you started it too, you know, an ignorant child dancing in the doom of an impending death. I really thought that those were real bookmark, you know, start and end. That was pretty fabulous. So as I was rambling on, Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
Thank you, sweet. Yeah.
So, excellent verbiage, by the way. The line where it's the heart that resonates in bleeding for redemption, there is something about those screaming lambs, the wailing that screeches through the night in pain. Well, not that they're in pain, but this feels like pain. And just a beautiful, concise, where I have a thing for precision of language. So a perfect word is a big deal in my brain when I read. So that was just absolutely fabulous. But this ending, you know, dreaming of when I was a man, that fragile, unenduring, beautiful figment, a flower seen, plucked, sniffed, and forgotten, to be that again, a dream, a nightmare's dream. It's so sorrowful. It's not, when you think vampires and nightmares, it's not this. This is very much Louis-esque, very much that pained existence, very much the wanting to forget the good that was, and or want, you know, so that he's not tortured by it in light of everything that he now is, that he despises in himself. And this is just it's an unending, oh crap, what's the word I'm looking for? Me who just said precision of language can't think of the word. It's an unending anguish, and it's a hard thing to live through for eternity. And I think that you depicted that beautifully.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You see how much more eloquent she put that than my babbling. Blah, blah, blah.
I appreciated both of those comments. I am not worthy.
Had are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, he's got some great lines throughout. Right at the beginning, grabbed my attention with an ignorant child dances in the gloom of impending death. The beast does not weep for prey. Nightmares don't cry for your lost slumber. There's no crying in baseball.
Full circle.
No, it's very, very good. The rest of it, it grabbed me right then and at that point, and it was great hearing you read. It's like you could hear a pin drop. Got everybody's attention.
Thank you, Ed.
All right. And Rack and Story, your thoughts.
Took the quote and you sucked the life out of it, Adam. You did a fantastic job how you feel about Louis by showing us the emotion that you saw in him. You know, you really made him human as much as he is an immortal vampire. So you did something really, really unique with that. And it was lovely to listen to. You really did a great job with it.
And for the record, I prefer Louis to Lestat.
Yeah.
Everybody prefers Louis to Lestat except for me, because I think Lestat is the perfect asshole.
Well, and he's hysterical. Like, he's a little outrageous, but it's fabulous. But Louis.
But nobody gets that Louis committed the ultimate sin of vampires and created a child vampire. It is Louis' fault that they went through all the time.
That was
cringiest
a merciful mistake of the creator, probably the most dynamic monster of all.
was the monster of all.
She was.
And what a heartbreaking the interview with Vampire is like one of, like that was a masterful write in that vamp whole series. That is like the ultimate mistake to do that.
Yeah.
That's funny that he would make that too. He would make that mistake.
Because he has
it was his heart, his human heart still beating to have this mercy for this child, to spare her and then actually damns her for it, like unwittingly. You know, it's part of his kind of beautiful tragedy that is Louis. And you say everybody loves him, but I've met the most diehard fans of this series that hate him, absolutely hate Louis. Number one, he's with a bullet. They hate him. Like, I remember when I was a teenager when I first I would like chat with fans of like the vampire, like Anne Rice, where she was at that point, you know, in the series. I don't remember, but everybody hated Louis. And I had a friend recently that was reading through the books, and he was like, "I just hate him." I was like, "Dang!" Like, I've always felt such a strong connection to him ever since I saw the movie, and it was always his heart. And I don't want to get into it, but there's a thing. I got a thing about it now because he's been. I don't want to ruin the series or anything. So I'll let you, because I know you're probably anticipating watching it. I'll let that be a surprise. I don't know if he's going to – I don't know. My friend is watching it.
What are we talking about? What series?
The series interview with a vampire. They've made a series of it. And my friend's watching it, and we got into a little bit of a thing over it because I was upset a little bit, and it came down to one thing, really, and not all this other kind of superficial stuff that she thought I cared about the character, in particular Louis, and it became a whole thing where she got mad, and I was like, well, whatever.
Well, people either like that he's emotional and weak, or they hate it.
Yeah.
Well, I asked her if he at least has a heart still, because they've kind of mangled him in the show. Yeah, and I hate to say it, I didn't want to break it to you like that, but I felt like they gutted the character to revamp him. And I, so at the end, I didn't care about all the superfluous things. I just cared if he still had a heart. And she goes, I don't know. And I go, you don't know? Louis wears his heart on his sleeve, on his face.
Yeah, but it's the second show, so we have to wait. There has to be more development. So,
right. But, I mean, you could tell. To me, I feel like Louis is, like, obvious. Like, it's easy to tell if he has a heart or not. It's not like a hidden thing that has to be figured out. Right, it's always been like obvious that he has a heart, and that's like
yeah.
Anyhow, yeah,
I like, know. It's his character.
Yeah, right, and that's the thing, right?
Yeah. So let us go to Phil the Poet. So this is his show, in honor of his clip. And I'm very, very, well, that was his show was last night. I was honored that he was able to jump over to this and do Anne Rice, because we wrote last night for his quotes. So I was glad he joined us with these quotes.
He's on the board.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Goth. I wrap the night around me like a cloak and stroll around the darkest part of your godforsaken town, observing the filth that crawls from the gutter. I am a shadow that drifts past to send shivers up and down your spine. I am the voice in the wind that always keeps calling your name. I am a leech that is hungry for blood, a gothic image behind painted eyes, obsessed with darkness and the spur of a savaged soul. I love the cry of gathering crows. The chill within my bones sends ecstasy pulsating through my cold and deserted heart. I haunt these streets for a prey, a victim that society has rejected to satisfy my unending thirst before the sun comes up. I am a vulture, cleaning the dead, stopping disease from spreading. Infection flows through these veins, replacing the life-giving blood. My time has come to fly. First rays of light appear. My job is done. The streets are now clean from all the dirt. I am a necessary evil that seems to be your last resort. End poem.
Would you like to go first?
Oh, I can go first. So I'm not used to Phil being all darkness and shadows, and I'm kind of loving it. He has a wonderful way of storytelling. He can write gnomes and mushrooms, and he can write all kinds of stuff, but I've never really heard or read him go nice and dark. I am the shadow that drifts past to send shivers up and down your spine. I am the voice in the wind that always keeps calling your name. You know, and there is something about those dark nights, especially if you're alone. You don't have to be alone, but especially if you're alone and the wind kicks up and so do the little hairs in the back of your neck, and it feels like somebody's calling you or somebody's there, and you're turning around every 2 seconds. And I love that he is that person. I love that he is culling the streets of the unwanted masses because it's a necessary evil. You know, like he's doing all good deeds and this harbinger of death that he is writing here, there's still a gentleness. You know, I haunt these streets. And that gentleness is creepy AF, which is fabulous
You know, I haunt these streets for a prey, a victim that society has rejected. You know, there's something gentlemanly about how he chooses. He doesn't kill the randoms, the upper echelons of society. He's very particular in who he goes for, those that will not be missed, those that don't have a place, that have been displaced by societal norms. He is making the streets a safer place from anybody but the likes of him. You know, he cleans them from all the dirt. He can be any kind of killer in this. I love that since it's all vampires, that it's very easily this. He could be Jack the Ripper. But it is fabulous, fabulous to satisfy my unending thirst before the sun comes up. So I guess it is a vampire, which is awesome. Because this is absolutely what I was talking about earlier, where vampires are fabulous because they're gallant and kind of gentlemanly. And he's not going to sit there and eviscerate you and have your intestines on the floor and leave messes left and right. He is a gentleman stalker, and he will kill you in the night, nice and quietly, take his fill, and nobody's going to miss you. See you later. Bye. So I think he is amazing. So I am saving this, and because he has fabulous shadows.
Oh, yes. Oh, now I have my flashback. Your comic was fantastic. I got to say, the sandwich that just kind of made my work come from. But I love the cries gathering from the fall within my bones from the darkness. So lovely. So dark. So beautiful. So wonderful. I'm going to say that.
Geez, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Is anybody else having that trouble?
A little bit.
Or hard time hearing you?
Yeah, you sound a little far away.
You're not crystal clear.
All right. Hold on. Is that better for everybody?
Yes.
Not any breath? Okay. So, yeah, the darkness and still. Hello, Deb, by the way. I should say hello to Deb.
Hello.
The darkness and his bright, the storyline, the I'm just, you know, here and gently and I have but the streets as I should, and the loveliness of it all was just perfection for Mr. Phil. And I, you know, he's among my favorite poets, but this just sent him on a higher plane of loyalty to me, and this is just wonderful. So, Hatter, your thoughts on this beautiful poem?
Yeah, once again, Phil comes through. He does a great job at the beginning describing who he is or who he's about to. I am the shadow. I am a leech, hungry for blood. And I love the cry of gathering crows. Great lines. And Phil's been writing a little more sorrow. Phil's poems. Does a good job at it. In comment.
Absolutely. And Adam, your thoughts?
I'm in total agreement. I need more of this. I mean, I love Phil. He's awesome all the time. What he can do and they evoke it, in evoking emotion. And storytelling is always just spot on. I love the darker necessities that he gives when he does. Like, wow. Like, just like Adam said, like, we need more of this dark and sorrowful or sort of thing from him. I wish, you know, it's awesome. It was so well, you know, and just like Pretty said, there's a lot of ambiguity to it. You know, we're not quite exactly sure what this gentlemanly dark character is doing. But he feels he's doing a service, right? And is justified, and he does it very well and suavely. cleaning and all that, and the great stanza that references the vulture really brings that around. This is awesome all the way through, top to bottom, like Phil does always so well. But yeah, the ambiguity of who this could be, or what even, right? Like, what could it be? And there's so much there, and it just lets you kind of fill that in.
Me too.
Yeah. And Rat?
Yeah, I love this. You know, he's got a style about him that's, you know, dependable. It's every time I say it, and then, you know, I when I hear him say this is a poem, you know, I know I'm going to be thrilled. It really puts me in a mood just hearing that opening line. For some reason, it's the way he says it, and then, you know, you get down to the poem itself, and you know, he always uses language that's fitting for what he's talking about. You know, you talk about gentlemanly and things like that. I feel like, you know, he really immersed himself in the part, and he was like, you know, if I were a vampire, you know, and he just went from there. The imagery, like, you know, you hear people call vampires, you know, blood sucking, whatever, or something like that. He just outright says, you know, it's a leech, and that's like, you know, I'm a leech. And that image alone, comparing it to a vampire, that as a metaphor, is just like that. That's, I don't know why no one ever did that before, because, you know, that's brilliant. It's the whole thing was just gorgeous. Great job, Phil.
Absolutely. I'm glad to get to hear it.
What was that, Sweet?
Deb.
I'm sorry, I can't tell what you're saying. It's broken up. I didn't get to hear him, but I was reading while you guys were commenting, and I'm like, holy cow. Like, what was that one? It was like, I love the cry of gathering crows. The chill within my bones sends ecstasy pulsating through my cold and deserted heart. I am a vulture cleaning the dead, stopping disease from spreading. Infection flows through these veins, replacing the life-giving blood. I mean, the details are eerie, and Phil, I've been saying it for a while now, Phil can tackle any topic and blow us away, and he doesn't delve into the darkness anywhere near enough, as far as I'm concerned, because he's really good at it. Excellent piece.
It's a lovely soundbite.
Absolutely.
Hi, Rack.
Fly away.
All right. So, Deb, you're here. Let me throw you on the board.
Don't throw me too hard. I'm having a day.
Okay, I won't throw you too hard.
Okay, cool.
And you are up.
Thank you, dear heart. Okay, I wrote to, what did I write to? They adjust, I believe that's the word. They adjust and they reach for the stars in their own way. I tell you, it's a wonder to me. They make me think of the wildflowers that grow in the cracks of the pavements, just pushing up into the sun no matter how many feet crush them down. I thought that was really cool. And anyway, it's called I Adjust Too, but don't kick me so hard. Boots that cannot tiptoe crush the tulips, stomping the petals into the flower bed. In spring, the bulbs show they are not dead. That little ant moved the rubber tree plant, and the daisy peeked from the sidewalk crack. That crack cannot break my mother's back. The cedar tree climbed through the mountain to stand at the peak, at the tip of the world. Then his dark green branches unfurled. 10 toes fold and knot, and 2 feet cramp.
a spasm squeeze to trap me down, just for trying to move myself around. I rose from the pounding throb and ache, then clutched the cane to stand. But on my rise, I had a hand. Arthritis hit with a double dose and in vertigo and spinal stenosis too. But I rose from darkness and made it through. Now as that darkness sucks me back in, weightlifting the shadows bogs me down. Don't kick me so hard as I climb off the ground and fall.
I won't kick you so hard, Deb. I might trip you, but I won't kick you. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Doll.
Wow. Oh, some great lines in here. Oh, wow. You guys have done so well with these. Boots that cannot tiptoe crush the tulips. I love that line. Ten toes full of a knot and 2 feet cramped as spasm squeeze trap me down. Just trying to move myself around. Now that darkness sucks me back in, weightlifting the shadows bog me down. Don't hit me so hard as I climb off the ground. I will kind of find this, like I'm going to fight you no matter what. I'm going to fight. But I'm still going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming. And no matter what you do, I'm going to keep coming, which is really great about the witching hour. No matter what, they're going to keep coming and keep coming. And I love the quote because it's kind of like the fight song. And I love how you did this, throwing in some nursery rhymes from, you know, I love that cannot crack my mama's back type of thing. And this is really, no matter what, no matter how times you're going to, you know, throw something at me, I'm coming back at you. But even though I fall, do me a favor, don't kick me so hard. But I really, really like the message in here. Of course, I love the way you write. And I love the cedar tree through the rocks. There's something my husband and I always talk about is, does nature win or does man win? Because we pave over roads and we pave over roads and we pave over roads. But every time you see a little tiny crack, you'll see earth coming through. You'll always see earth coming through. There's always a weed or there's always a stem of some kind of greenery that comes up through the cracks. Because it seems no matter what we do as man, there's something that's going to grow through the cracks. So I really kind of saw that in here. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on that?
Thank you, my sweet.
Oh, this feels so familiar. When your bones want to, you know, are rallying to fight against you, it ain't no joke. And I'm right there with you. It's not fun. And here's the thing. This is a beautiful tribute to being resilient, even if it comes a little bit slower, even if it doesn't look like anything to anybody. You know, it's pretty much give me a minute. It's taking me longer this time, but I will get back on my feet. And everybody has their own physical struggles. Things change as you age, and all these things happen. And it gets, you know, I fell out of a moving Jeep, broke my ass outright. And I was standing and walking and laughing up a storm. 2 seconds later, I was more embarrassed than I was hurt. I mean, it caused me many, many problems, but I was more embarrassed than I was hurt. If I fell out of anything moving right now, even 2 miles an hour, I'd probably die. I am not the same person I was. And so it changes the way you bounce back after every hit and every change and everything you have to adjust to. It changes and it slows down and it takes you longer because it takes so much more effort, especially when there's pain involved. And most people, if they can't see you limping, if you're not moaning and groaning outright, most people don't notice. Even the ones who know, it hurts them to acknowledge it, and so they forget. It's easy to forget. It's easy to be the person you always were in their eyes, and then that they come at you saying things that just like that. Boots that cannot tiptoe crush the tulips.
and they know not the damage they do, forgetting that that you're not the same person, you know. And it is a hard place to be, but I love that this is all about hope and resilience. And give me a minute, I got you. I'll get up. I'm good, you know. And you know, there's a lot of hope in this, which is not my forte. So I love seeing it in this, and it is. It's lovely, and it's a little heartbreaking because it's so familiar, but I really appreciate that you wrote this.
Thank you, Pre-Bird. Awesome comment.
Awesome poem.
And Adam, your thoughts?
Adam, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Adam left. Check your answer. You can tell. Anyways, this is a. I just have to second and third and fourth it. It's a great piece on resilience. Feels very personal, but also applicable to anyone and anything at that. The references of nature and how it too is resilient. You know, it's. I hate to be an echo chamber, but it's well done. I love that you entwine these ideas together to tell what I believe is a personal story of, and it's great. Sweet said, I feel it too. It's a very fight songish, you know, kind of like, you know, it's an anthem or, you know, not to give up and keep pressing on. And there's a lot of interesting lines here that I love. I like the beginning with the boots. Because it all comes together. So it's like every stanza, really. I can't even just say the line, but I love that. You know, I love that idea that even in that it will. You know, you step on flowers, or whatever, but they're gonna bloom again. I like that, and the physical realities with the humanness added, you know, I relate, and sometimes, this is a great piece, and I see that it's another, you've done it again, Deb, with another 10, huh?
That's, yeah, five more to go, can you believe it? Thank you. And sadly, it was way more. I mean, it's verbatim as far as personal, but it is what it is, right? Awesome comment.
That's brave. Shows your bravery, you know, to share that.
Or a whiner, if you take your pick.
No, whiner, never. It gives people hope.
All right. Pat, are your thoughts?
I had her dropped.
Oh, did it?
Oh.
He shows me how much I'm playing. No. Then wreck.
Deb. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I think he's back.
He's back.
Ah, Pat.
Unmuted.
Unmuted. Rack, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought since Hatter was back, he was going to go.
No,
he'll
go after
you. Yeah. I got you back. Deb, oh my goodness. I enjoyed this piece. You know, there's a meme you've probably seen. It's not how many times you fall, it's how many times you get back up. It just reminds me of that, and I love the way that you took a lot of the expressions that you probably have heard in song or just in idea. I think they were also from songs. You know, the rubber tree plant and the tiptoe through the tulips and whatnot. And you made them fit the idea of what you were talking about, so you kind of made this into a green poem and recycled those lines to fit your purposes. It came out to a good piece, though, you know, and you really made a statement with it. You know, I just want to point out, it doesn't matter what's on their feet. If they're kicking you, they're kicking you.
That's true. Very true.
Ballet slippers will probably hurt just as much as, well, maybe not just as much, but it does still hurt.
I agree. And thank you, Raconteur.
Hatter, did you hear it or did you leave?
No, I caught up to the end and I just read the ending. Wow. Choked me up, sis.
Sorry, Hatter. Don't get silent, I'll cry.
Oh. Don't get silent, you'll cry.
I'm cleaning up.
Can't do anything when somebody hurts.
It'll be okay. Hurt means I'm still alive.
Seriously.
This is true.
Yeah, and you wake up and you don't feel in pain. You think that you died in your sleep.
This is true. Don't do that. That's not good. All right. I think we have one more to go. And that is Heavenly's, I believe.
It is. She's on the board.
I am correct.
Okay, I've got to go, guys.
All right, hon. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thanks for
that.
Bye,
Big Bro. Thanks for letting me just take care.
Night, Adam.
Thank you. Good night. All right, here we go. Heavenly. Barnabas, he's another one of my favorite vampires. The legend of Barnabas. The vampire. Deep in the dark woods, legend is told, was the ancient vampire Barnabas, some say 500 years old. He's known to have added many to his nightly feast. He's the ruthless night prowler, dying demonic beast. Barnabas hungers and thirsts for souls, made a night stalker when he was 20 years old. The devil himself is his master now, controlling these actions of this being so foul. He hunts, he stalks, searching for prey, roaming the night, sleeping by day. Evil intentions in his twisted mind, hoping an innocent victim he will find. Souls will be added to his dynamic hell. Satan himself will be pleased, say he's done quite well. He will drink the life flow from every vein. Trying to escape will be in vain. Beware as you walk this path, you may encounter Barnabas' wrath. May God have mercy on your soul. You come under his vampire control. End poem. Very well done, Heavenly Angel. And I totally forgot about Barnabas and Dark Shadows and that fabulous show. And I think this is just perfect and beautiful and lovely. And it's just perfect ending for this show. So from Anne Rice to Barnabas, it's a great story. And I love the rhyme and I love the cadence and it's a pleasure to read. Thank you very much for writing for me. I always enjoy your stuff. Deb, your thoughts?
Sometimes you have to say whoa and do a double take when Angel writes in the darkness, because I'm so used to the romance and stuff. And before I comment on that, I'm just noticing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a five-time award winner. Wow. That's awesome. I like Barnabas hungers and thirsts for souls, made a night stalker when he was 20 years old. The devil himself is his master now, controlling these actions of this being so foul. I like the rhyme pattern, but the cadence is awesome too. And souls will be added to his demonic hell. Satan himself will be pleased, say he's done quite well. He will drink the life flow from every vein. Trying to escape will be in vain. It's like resistance is futile, bitch. Oh, sorry. Anyway, I think it's awesome darkness. Great share, Miss Angel. Awesome read, sweet.
Thank you. And Pervert, your thoughts?
You know, I love how this starts. It reminds me, it's deep in the 100-acre woods because it's deep in the dark woods. Legend is told. And so it starts sweet, and then it kind of accelerates a little bit as he, I mean, well, it's not really sweet. I mean, it's a vampire in line too. But it just kind of starts off fairy tale-like, which is fabulous. But it is anything but, and it's hungry, and it's you know, they're damned. Well, you know, all these souls are damned, and there's this certain acceleration, this certain that happens in the cadence of this. Now, I love when a dark piece is rhymes, because it gives it a lighter feel, but it's really sinister. So that kind of juxtaposition is absolutely freaking fabulous to me. Having said that, I haven't thought about Barnabas Collins in quite a while, and those dark shadows. And why do we not have any kind of spooky soap opera now? I mean, it was 1966, and they had vampires on midday television as a soap opera, and it was the best thing ever. And I watched it in reruns, and I loved it because I was a whoops child, and I was not born in the 60s, by the way. But as like I said, reruns. And so I hadn't thought about this, and it's all lovelorn and fabulous, so it's not quite as sinister as her right with her Barnabas, but I like this. I like that there is no shame. Like, this is a pure vampire. There isn't any of this angsty stuff. There isn't any of this, well, let's not hurt the people. There aren't any twinkle sparkle nonsense that this he's going to do his business. Everybody's going to hell, and he gives no crap. And I absolutely love that. And because it's in this specific cadence, there's an air of sweetness to it. You almost want to sing it like a song, which I think is fabulous, because, you know, he hunts, he stalks, searching for prey, roaming the night, sleeping by day. This was just awesome. And again, Angel, you're another one that I don't get to see a lot of darkness, darker rites on the things that I have read from you. But I'm hoping to see more because it's just fabulous.
And Adam, your thoughts?
I feel just... Yeah, there's the rhyming creates, just like Braver said, this juxtaposition to the darkness that almost makes it fun. So I start to think, like, I almost feel of it like a warning nursery rhyme that someone would tell their children to beware, and like a warning of sorts. Barnabas is out there, and, you know, like, because they'll remember it in rhyme, being told, like, this dark nursery rhyme of sorts. It kind of works in my mind like that, like when the bouncy feel I get from the din 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 din, the flow of it really does that to my mind. And yeah, it's good. It has like this, yep, end comment.
And for the last comment of the night, Mr. Rackendor.
Yeah, this was vampires before they sparkled. I mean, oh my God, this is what they were meant to be. And like Pretty Bird said, you know, daytime TV. This was. I don't know if they considered it, and this, on the verge of being a pun, groundbreaking. I really flashbacks of the show. The wolf's head, silver handled walking cane, just the whole thing of his, the idea, the world that they built around him, precursor to all the, you know, the other vampires, but you know, kind of making them accessible to everybody. And as horrible as it was, you know, they made it, dare I say, palatable. I mean, it was still dark, and it was still malevolent and mischievous and you know, conniving and you know, he had his plots, but you know, he was still at the end of the day, or at the beginning of the day for him, a vampire. And I she did a great job capturing that. This is a great piece.
Absolutely. So, Pretty Bird, what's your next show?
Ooh, we have a spooky season special tomorrow night. It is Frankenstein with me and Rack. And I will just read you my little blurb so y'all know what it's about. It says, who's the real monster? Is it the doctor or the creation? Horror stories of galvanization morph into defibrillation and the unknown keeps shrinking. Transplants, animal parts, miscellaneous hoo-ha's kept together with electricity and duct tape can make one's head spin clean off. So stitch us together with the bits and pieces that come to mind, whether it be Mary Shelley, medicine, or shards of whatever aftermath comes bubbling to the surface. So anything that you have to stitch together, I don't care if it's an emotional Frankenstein. I don't care if you side with the doctor or the monster or if you write about cows, so long as it's stitched in there, you are good.
All righty then. Deb, anything we should know about?
Deb has dropped, and on Thursday, it is Skies Down the Tube. So let's see what she's got cooking for us. And that shows at 8 o'clock. Oh, she's always got the most interesting things. I don't know where she finds them. There's it's all about reef remains and things that have been turned into reefs. Prompt number 2 is the frogfish, which is a creepy-looking creature. You need to check that out. And prompt number 3 is the giant prehistoric predator dragonfly. I think I'm going to stay away from that one because I do not do the bugs.
Yeah.
But she has videos and information on all of them. Check that out because it's always a fun time.
Yeah, that's always a fun time. It's always very weird with her. fun, but weird. And I think that's it for the night, you guys. Anybody got anything else going on we need to know about anywhere else, any place else?
No, but Saturday shows Beans.
Beans, anything about beans? Bring it on.
Rice and beans.
I have a kid joke for you.
What's the kid joke?
What kind of bean doesn't grow in the garden?
Don't know.
A jelly bean.
Aww. That's too cute.
I stumped my kids with that one for years.
Oh my god, that's too cute. That is too cute. Really is.
Beans.
I really like that. All right. I want to say thank you to everyone that came tonight. It was great to hear from JCA. It was actually wonderful to hear from JCA. Thank you, Adam, for coming to my show. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Stephen, for stopping by, as always. Thank you, Rack and Tor, for always being here by my side. Thank you, Pretty Bird, my beautiful host, as always. Thank you, Deb, for stopping by. Everybody has been wonderful and great tonight. Could not do this show without all of you. Everybody that wrote for me, it's been absolutely wonderful to have all the writers and artists that come and join me because I certainly could not do that. This with every one of you. Thank you for my magic marshmallow, Mr. Hatter, who always makes me think when he writes. And let's see, who did I forget? Who did I forget, Rack? You always tell me.
I was going to say Hatter, but you nailed that. So you got
yeah,
Angel?
I got them all. I didn't mention writers, so I did not do that, but I mentioned all of them. I did not do them individually. But otherwise, I'd have a whole list, and I know I would miss somebody.
Yes.
So but I did say thank them, everyone, so don't criticize me or correct me on that one. Because I know you probably have them all listed in your head. But it's been a lovely show. It is 10 o'clock. I've got to say goodnight. You guys are awesome. Beware your necks. Cover them up. Or enjoy the bite. Talk to you guys next week. Love y'all. Good night, guys.
Bite me.
Good night.
Good night. Bye. Good night, Adam. Good night.
If you're using Blog Talk Radio, goodbye.
Goodbye.